We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Andy Liu on the Spotify Green Room app. We're recording this 20 minutes after the Warriors and the Wolves. Let's see if the little buffer time means cooler heads prevail today. I don't even want to call it disgusting loss. Like, Warriors are shorthanded. Moody goes down the first half of the game even more shorthanded. But anyway, you want to slice it, Wolves took it to them, and Warriors are just kind of, you know, turning the calendar to March did not solve their issues.
You called it this morning. You shot me a text this morning and said, hey, the Warriors are going to lose tonight. They're going to lose big. And I texted you back and said, yeah, that sounds about right. But you called it. The Warriors were one-point favorites tonight, Sam. I don't know why. If you've watched the Warriors play the last five games, tonight was a loss. Anthony Edwards got scratched before the game, and it didn't matter.
Should we start fading the Warriors and just make some money? Like, I'm not going to lie to everyone. Like, at the beginning of the year when – the Lakers were getting way too much respect from the books, I put some good money in my bank account. Like, every game I was like betting against them, and
college tuition money type, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was just saving. This is an investment strategy right here. Now, I don't want to do it against the Warriors because that would just hurt my soul. But when there's money to be made, no. All right, let's get to the game here. So, like, are we officially at a point where it's like they did a really good job buying time for Draymond being out, but like it's officially too long? Like Looney did a really good job of like holding down the fort, but like he can only do it for so long.
Yeah, I think I think absolutely. I think even if Klay Thompson played tonight, this thing was going to be a blowout. I, Dallas, you could say that the Warriors would have won that game with Klay Thompson. They probably would have. But tonight felt like one of those games where they just weren't good enough. At no point tonight did you feel like the Warriors were going to win this game. No point. If you told me Steph was going to score 69 points, yeah, then, you know, sure, they win this game. But at no point tonight did they felt like they were the better team, Tim. And that's, man, that is a testament to where the Warriors are this season, isn't it? We're almost at the end of the season. The Wolves are going to be a 7-8-9 seed, right? And the Warriors are
maybe a seven, no, seven seed. They're kind of actually kind
they
of
might see them in the first round, right?
Yeah,
right. Isn't it? It's getting kind of likely at this point. And the Warriors got absolutely outclassed. It wasn't close.
Yeah, just for clarification, the Wolves are the seven seed. They got kind of two games on the Clippers, and they're about 3 to 4 back of the Nuggets, and the Mavericks are kind of bunched up 5-6. Like they're kind of like, depending on the day, 1-5, 1-6. So I think the Wolves are going to actually be the seventh seed. Like they don't look like they're going to collapse. I think they're actually a nice little team, to be perfectly frank. And I'm just watching this. And it's like, we can talk about Draymond missing, and obviously Klay was missing too. And that's a lot of talent out of the lineup, but it's frustrating. I don't know how else to put it.
They lost by 20 plus tonight. And yes, Draymond's out and Klay's out, but Jordan Poole's got to be better. Andrew Wiggins after the great first quarter.
15 for clarity, but they did. It was at 20 until some garbage. I know what you're saying.
Right, like he's got to be better when it matters. Andrew Wiggins was very good in the beginning, but tailed off right in the middle of the game when it truly mattered. This team has just got to be better. Steph Curry, 34 points tonight, Sam, but did it feel like it was a very impactful great 34 points? Not really. Right, it just felt like they just didn't have a chance. I was watching D'Lo and Cat rip up the defense and get open shots from Malik Beasley, and I'm just sitting here and like, am I watching the same Warriors that we saw in the beginning of the season? There's only 20 games left.
Yeah,
it's
a couple things stood out to me. Okay, so let's put the Draymond and Klay thing aside because it is what it is. The Wolves were just more physical than them. They
wow.
were like the
yeah.
Wolves.
Wow.
The Wolves. They've made a point to surround Kat and D'Lo with just goons across the board, right? Like Jared Vanderbilt. You know, I could be hipster and tell you about how much I love him, but like the point stands: Vanderbilt, right. McDaniels, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley. They're grinders. They're really physical. They're defensive minded. They're not consistent offensive players. They're all like guys who could go 4-for-6 from three or 0-for-6. You know, like they're those type of guys, but like they will always defend and get loose balls. And I'm watching the Warriors, and outside of GP2, who matches that same level of intensity when he plays. And to be fair, Damian Lee more than anyone brought it today. And Looney trying to, but he's physically limited. I'm watching like Wiggins. I'm watching Jordan Poole. Really, those two stick in my mind where I'm like, you two have to be a lot better. Wiggins was just getting beaten physically by right. players who are less talented than him. Let's be real. Jaden McDaniels is a – he's an interesting player.
He's a fringe rotation guy right now at best.
He's lengthy. I get like the intrigue with him, but like he's not a good shooter. He can't do a lot of other things. Yeah, he is a fringe guy where you can see the upside. He's not as talented as Wiggins. He was beating him to a lot of balls tonight. Jared Vanderbilt, same thing when he was in there. McLaughlin, same thing Jordan Poole, who I think was probably the disappointment of the night for the Warriors tonight, honestly. I thought Jordan Poole was going to have a chance to bounce back. Like everyone called out last game was uncomfortable. Steve Kerr even, you know, he said, I got to get him more minutes, you know, which is like classic Steve, like I'll take the blame. And maybe he was right too, but like they were all doing everything to try to get Jordan Poole going. And he comes out here and it's just another flat performance.
Yeah. I think so. And who do you want to blame? I don't know. You get to blame whoever you want to blame, whether it be Steve Kerr playing these Phil Jackson-ish mind games, Bobby Knight-ish mind games, or you say, Jordan Poole, you got to be better. You're the one that has to play better basketball. Whether you start or you don't start, you got to be better. Andrew Wiggins, same thing. You got to be better. It doesn't matter what position you're put in. At the end of the day, right, Sam, this is not the NFL. You're not just kind of like Kyle Shanahan can make Jimmy Garoppolo solid. But in the NBA, if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, you're not going to be a good basketball player. That's very simple. A lot of it is just how good you are, how talented, how hard you're playing. And I think you're right. Wiggins and Poole, outside of the top three guys, Steph, Draymond, and Klay, are the most important players of this team. And those guys were awful. And when that happens, and then you're missing the two of the top three guys. So, Sam, you're saying you're missing four of the top five guys. Yeah, you're going to lose by 20.
I think, like, at this point, I feel pretty comfortable in saying Klay has thrown off the rhythm of Wiggins and Poole. And I'm not blaming Klay.
But interesting.
I just feel like since Klay came back, they don't know who – they're just – they feel lost, and I don't know if it's the coaching staff's fault. I feel like you watch Jordan Poole. Obviously, he's frustrated that he lost his starting job to, like, even if you understand Klay is a first ballot Hall of Famer and all that sort of stuff, like, it still kind of sucks. He was starting for a first place team. You know, it's kind of like you got demoted for no reason. You know what I mean? And you can, he needs to like get over it. He needs to just like understand that it is what it is, right? But like, you can understand the feeling like we were in first place when I was starting. Why do I have to go to the bench, right? You can understand that sort of thing. And then Wiggins, I think Wiggins was thriving playing the role Clay plays, which is just, you know, shooting and defending, right?
Right.
And since Draymond's gone down, he's needed to do more things like playmaking, really. And now he's kind of, I don't want to say Wiggins has regressed, but it feels a little more like the Minnesota Wiggins where it's like flashes, but a lot of like, it's just, it's not, they both do not look like the players they looked like in the beginning of the season when they had clear defined roles around Steph and Draymond. Like they knew exactly who they were. And now I'm watching this team. It doesn't even matter. Like the thing that bothers me is Draymond's out, Clay is out. In theory, they should find their roles again tonight, and they're not.
Yeah. I think that's the point, because my question to you is along the lines of, hey, if Draymond and Clay are back, a lot of this gets solved, right? A lot of this gets solved. But also at the same time, if Draymond and Clay are back, Jordan Poole's still coming off the bench, right? Andrew Wiggins, we saw, was struggling when Clay came back because he didn't have the same amount of shots. So you're still seeing some of these same issues. I don't know if those get solved, but I mean, obviously the Warriors are better if those guys are back. So at the end of the day, obviously. But those guys are still struggling, though, right? Like that's my thing. My thing is especially with Jordan Poole, actually. It's not really with Wiggins. I think with Wiggins, you get those two top players back. I think Wiggins is going to be fine. I think he's going to be getting open shots. He doesn't have to do much on offense. On defense, he can focus on guarding the quick guards. He'll be okay, actually. I'm not too worried about Wiggins. My issue is with Jordan Poole, because it seems like to me that he's not happy with his role and he's not playing well. And if he's not pouting, he's just playing bad basketball. And that's going to extend regardless of whether Clay is back, regardless of whether Draymond is back. And that's number one to me, Sam. Maybe it's not to you, but to me, the number one issue with this team right now is how Jordan Poole is being played. They're not winning a championship with Jordan Poole playing the way he is right now. They're not.
No, they need him to be the player he was early in the season, which is a legitimate X factor offensively. Like he's not as consistent on ball as Steph, because Steph's a Hall of Famer and Jordan Poole's 22-year-old. But he brought enough on ball that like he mattered. He mattered a lot to this team, and he does matter a lot to this team. You know how like in the beginning of the season, or even take it back to last year, it's a lot of like dribble less and just make quicker decisions. And when he started doing that, he took off. It feels like he's regressed back to like wanting the ball in his hands. And if he doesn't get the ball in his hands, there's some pouting going on. It seems to me like the combo of injuries and kind of changing of roles, it's thrown off the rhythm of everyone. And it shows most on the defensive side, to be honest. Like, because Steve Kerr keeps focusing on defense, and I don't necessarily blame him for this. They're going to kind of ebb and flow on offense without Clay and Draymond. They're not really defending. They're making a lot of effort mistakes. It's a reason they play better with Damian Lee and Juan in there right now, because those guys don't make effort mistakes. If they make mistakes, it's just kind of like they only, you know, it's a talent thing, right?
Right.
But with like guys like Jordan Poole and some other guys, it's just kind of like, where's your head?
I'm with you right now. Watching Damian Lee and watching JTA, get me those guys. Those guys are playing hard. Those guys are playing, trying to play defense, and those guys give a shit out there. And I think that's where the point of Jordan Poole, you just got to be. Look, man, you got a lot of money that's on the line, and you're a young kid. You want to be better. But at the end of the day, you got to play better basketball.
Let me ask you this, because I know we're going to get this call. How much of this are you putting on Steve Kerr? Because, look, this is not the easiest team to coach, and not because they're bad guys or, like, there's weird personalities. It's you're just dealing with people who are at different stages of their career with different priorities. Like, Jordan Poole, definitely, he hasn't got a big contract. if you're Jordan Poole, it has to be on your mind that like this next contract is, you know, life changing money. I guess
Steve Kerr has to understand that though, right? Yeah. Steve Kerr as a role player has to understand that 50-50. Steve Kerr can't just say, yeah, I'm going to do this my way. And if you don't play the way that I want, you're going to get benched. He can't do that. You can't do that because this team can't win a championship without him, in my opinion. Do you agree? They can't win a championship with Jordan Poole playing well.
No, he needs to, you're right. He needs to be the X factor offensively. Like we all know, their chances at competing for a title start with the core three. And Wiggins is an important player beyond that, being like your wing stopper and a guy who hits shots. Right. But like Jordan Poole has to be that guy who, when you get into those games and they're mucking up the offense, Jordan Poole is the guy who gets you a bucket and makes you unguardable.
They need to get that out of him. It can't be, hey, this is the age old question we had all of last season. Me and you sat here and during COVID, right, peak pandemic, we sat here and questioned and we said, as a coach, you can't just say, this is my theory, this is my system. You have to conform to my system. At some point, you have to say, this is what Jordan Poole's strengths are. This is what X player's strengths are. We got to fit what we think is good for basketball, for our system, according to his strengths. And I think that Steve Kerr has to relent a little bit and say, this is what we have to do to make Jordan Poole good. And I might not be happy about it. I might not be cool with this, but I need to do this because this is what makes the Warriors the best. I think right now Steve Kerr is kind of thinking, what makes me happy? And nobody gives a shit whether Steve Kerr's theory is right. All we care about is how good the Warriors are. Right. And a lot of that, I think, depends on what Steve Kerr feels like.
We got a quote from Andrew Wiggins.
God. Okay.
You know, the notoriously talkative Andrew Wiggins. So this is from Shayna Rubin of the Barry News Group. Friend of the show. Steve Kerr said the team just looks disconnected tonight. Reasons are intangible. Mm. Wiggins agreed, saying, we all just need to get on the same page. We all want the same thing. We just have to want it more.
Is he talking to himself? Who is he talking to?
I don't know. It kind of ties into what we were saying. It's tangible. They're disconnected. Steve said it. They're disconnected. They're playing disconnected. They are at a talent deficit right now, but this is a very polite way of saying that they're having some sort of locker room issues right now, right?
Wow, you said it. You think so? I'm watching the Lakers right now collapse against the Mavs. They collapsed against the
Pelicans. Okay, it could always be worse. That's a great example.
But I'm saying you're inferring that it's similar, because the Lakers obviously have locker room issues. Any team LeBron has his locker room issues, and they don't seem like they're playing hard. They don't seem like they care. The Warriors aren't at that level, right? Obviously, they're not that bad. But you're saying, and I agree with you, that they're similar.
I'm not willing to go that far, but like that is kind of like what we're getting at in terms of trending direction, right? Like where it's like, you know, if you're going to keep splintering away and everyone's going to play their own way, the Lakers are the perfect example of like you put together like players who have a certain amount of talent and it just does not work and it doesn't click. Like that's like, so you're right. Like it's an example of like the worst case scenario. I'm not willing to go to
the Warriors. Right. We're not that. Yeah, right.
In any capacity.
Right. Right.
It's just kind of like, it's very clear that they are struggling and that it's more than just players missing. It's effort. It's something beyond that. And maybe calling it out is what they need, because this has kind of been a team that when they hit adversity, they call it out and things, you know, tend to move in a positive direction after that.
Yeah, I think there's one thing I want to bring up. We should probably get to the goons at some point here. But I think one thing I want to bring up is Steph's got to do something. Steph has got to say something here. You're the leader. It's not up to Andrew Wiggins. It's not up to Jordan Poole. It's not up to Kevon Looney. Draymond's hurt. Clay's I don't know what Clay's doing. But it's up to Steph. If there's something wrong in the locker room and there's something that's got to be said and Steph's got to say, hey, Jordan Poole, you got to be better. Stop bitching. Steph's got to do that. Or if he's got to say, hey, Steve, stop the bullshit rotations. Start Jordan Poole. He's got to do it. I think it's up to him. Right? That's the leader. That's the leader of the team. It's not Steve Kerr. Right? It's the best player this franchise has ever seen. If something's got to be done, Steph has got to do it. And I think that's where the Warriors are at now. But I mean, they're not the Warriors. They're not the Lakers. They're down by 19 right now. They're getting cooked by Spencer Dinwiddie right now, Sam, and Dwight Powell.
The Warriors got cooked by Dinwiddie like 48 hours ago. But no, your point stands. Like it's very, to me. I mean, I'm guessing, but I feel like since Clay's come back, a lot of players have felt like their role has. Just like I said, there are players with different priorities all over the roster. So, and not in a bad way, just kind of like it's tough. It's tough when you're 22. It's tough when those things happen. And they need to have the quote unquote come to Jesus moment.
Yes, they do.
Come together because it's moving in. It's slowly moving in a negative direction.
Do they need the vaunted locker room? What are they called? The internal players only meeting? Do they need that? Is it the players only? Do they need that?
I'm waiting for a friend of the show, Anthony Slater, to tweet out players only meeting and let us know. Like it was emotional. No, actually Shams would be the one who would tell us that. It was emotional, but they reached an understanding. Otto Porter stood on a chair and some stuff like that.
Who do you think cries? By the way, LeBron just shot the technical free throw. I don't know why, and he missed it. But who do you think cries in the players only? Who do you think is saying like we bonded, we got closer? Who do you think's the tearjerker?
I'm going with Looney. the strong silent type. Loon's gonna be the one who says, guys, it's bigger. We're looking bigger.
Looney the leader, he really is trying to get that contract. Good for him.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the goons. Rowan.
Yo, what's up? Just wondering, what do you think how Kuminga played the last couple of games? I feel like ever since he changed up his hair, he's kind of been looking off. I don't know if that's something. And I mean, obviously, he's not going to be playing big minutes down the stretch in the playoffs, but any thoughts about Kuminga the last couple of games just with this tough stretch that we've been having?
I appreciate it. It's a fair question. I thought – so one thing stood out to me with Kuminga tonight. He tried way too much to go one-on-one tonight. I don't know if you noticed it, Andy, but he did stuff he does in the G League that he's generally not done this year. It reminded me of Wiseman last year, like where he gets the ball and you're like, bro, why are you trying to take Cat one-on-one when you have Steph Curry open 6 feet away from you? You know, like that type of stuff. And I'm wondering if it's a consequence of them being kind of in a bad space where like everyone's kind of fractured and moving in different directions. But other than that, like, dude, I'm not going to get mad about Kuminga getting sauteed by Carl Anthony Towns. You know, like Towns he's one of the best big men in the league. And you're asking a 19-year-old rookie who's not even a big to guard him. Like, that was always going to be a
problem. If Wiseman played tonight and he got cooked, I wouldn't care either. It's one of those games where I'm never going to really get that mad at a 19-year-old rookie for playing bad. There's a lot of other blame to go around, right? Than that, and I think in these situations, what's made Kuminga play so well is that the team's put him in a great situation. Obviously, he's super talented, but a lot of it is same with Andrew Wiggins. He's in a great situation. He's not asked to do too much, but in these type of games where the Warriors need Kuminga to be great to stay within this game, right? They need him to be great, and that's where shit falls apart. That's where I think you don't want that. You don't want to rely on your rookies. You want to say, yeah, we're going to play Kuminga. He's going to play 15 minutes tonight. If he does well, great. If he doesn't do well, whatever. We'll be fine regardless. It doesn't affect the game. But games tonight where you're like, oh, Kuminga, I hope you provide a boost and I hope you make some threes, right? It's like, yeah, you rely on that. You're done.
Yeah, it's not the move. All right, Karamea.
Okay, so – Sam and Andy, it's actually pronounced Karima.
Karima.
Since we're getting it all out now, you know.
I apologize. I feel...
It's okay. It's okay.
Because as someone with the last name that no one can ever pronounce.
Personal.
It feels wrong.
Ironic. Yes,
exactly.
Like, I cut you deep right there.
Exactly.
Listen, I get it. I get it all the time, so we're good. We're good. So I don't even know where to begin, but what I will start out with is that kudos to Damian Lee because he came in and he really played, I'd say, a solid game. We really needed that from him because he was my 2.5 players stepping up tonight that I kept saying only showed up. So like you guys have already said, if Andrew and Jordan don't get their head out of their asses and show up, that's all we need you to do. Show up. Just show up. Stephen can't do it all himself. We know this. And let me just end it here and say we've got better days ahead. Draymond better be on that plane tonight and on that bench and coaching up these dudes. But hey, thanks for taking my call.
You want to see Draymond courtside at the Lakers game?
I will put my fist in his throat if he does, because I'm telling you, like, I'm already like done with him right now for not being on these trips lately. So
yeah.
But we're gonna be okay, guys. We're gonna be okay.
I appreciate the call.
She makes a fair point about Draymond Green. I don't know where he is, but Sam, he needs to be on the bench. I mean, if he's hurt and he can't travel, you know, fine. I get it. But if he's...
Yes, they could use some veteran leadership, as they say, right? You could use a little veteran leadership. Christian, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
you know. What's up, Robin?
Like the last guy, I remember the last green room, he was like, first time caller just out of disguise, so this is me right now.
Nice.
First thing I just wanted to say, I don't know if you guys, I know you guys probably talked about it in the beginning, but thoughts on the pool situation. He's pretty hesitant tonight. Like, I could tell, like, a lot of the shots early, he was short. He airballed a shot, I think. And I think he just let a lot of defenders, like, get really close to him. And that's just more of him being super hesitant. And what do you guys think about what has to happen to repair? Like, I can't help but think that this little rut he's in is kind of a really important storyline for this season. Like,
it is.
Really need Poole. Yeah, they really need Poole to feel confident and free. And when Kerr does, like, the whole tough love thing, it just pulls back on what, you know, what Poole had last year when he got better. He was playing a lot more free.
Christian, appreciate the call. Yeah.
Here's how I feel about the tough love stuff. Hey, Christian, thank you. The tough love stuff has got to go. Sam, we saw this last year. Cut the shit. We know that last year we saw Nico Meagher and Brad Wanamaker. We know that Jordan Poole is better than them, right? What are we doing here, right? Moses Moody's now starting over Jordan Poole. Moses Moody, as much as I love Moses Moody, the resident Moses Moody stan, Jordan Poole is better than him. Yeah, right? Like, we love Jordan Moses Moody around here, but play the kid. Like, let him struggle. Let him start. Get him some confidence. What are you doing? This is not an 18-win team that you get to fuck around with. This is a championship contender. You need to get him confidence. Go, Sam. Go ahead.
My whole thing is you have to coach every player differently. As we've seen with, let's just say, James Wiseman, they're very nurturing of Big Jim. And that's probably he doesn't respond to, you know, the drill sergeant type of coaching. They understand that, you know, he's having a hard time with his injury rehab and they need to build him up. Now, Jordan Poole is a different player and I understand wanting to challenge him. But if you're losing him, which it feels like they are right now, like he feels completely checked out to me. Like that's the best way to put it. He feels checked out, feels like when he gets a ball, he's not thinking. He's just like, I'm just going to do what I want.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
You should recalibrate the way you're coaching him because you can't afford to lose him. And I think they know this. It's just a question of how they want to get there because this is not moving in the correct direction. And they need to get him back to being the player he was in the beginning of the season to move forward.
It's not even like Sam and I are not even asking Steve Kerr to cater to him. We're not saying, oh my God, just run whatever Jordan Poole wants to run. Just get the kid some confidence, man. Y'all are killing him out there.
Yeah. I mean,
right? This coach is killing him out there. Oh, he makes one bad rotation. Oh, he's ripped apart. How many times have we watched Bielitsa give up a layup this season? I mean, Bielitsa would have played 15 minutes tonight if he wasn't injured. He's fucking awful.
Could have used him. But yeah, I mean,
kid some slack.
You point. I mean, any way you want to slice it, like we can dissect it. Whatever they're doing is not working right now, and it's a question of how do you get them back on track, right? Like the goal here is to get the best Jordan Poole on the court. So how do you get them back on track?
Yep.
And now is officially the time where you probably should reflect and be like, what we're doing is not working. So what can we do to get it to work?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Let's get to it. We got a lot of callers.
Let's rip them.
Yule, what's up?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Yeah, hey, we can brother? Hear you. What's up, man?
Yeah, y'all know me as SF Bay Drummer on Twitter.
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. I love it. From my the man. South.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm from the Bay, but I just live in Houston. But, you know, I don't like what I'm seeing from the Warriors right now. I know Steve Kerr is better than this, but I'm not going to put it all on him. But I do need Steph Curry to be a little bit better, too. Like, I know he can't do it by himself. He can, but he won't because he's trying to empower everybody else. But, like, Steph Curry needs some help. And I think one move that we should make, even though it may not be popular, is maybe trying to pick up DeAndre Jordan just to have somebody in the center. I mean, we already have Lob City as it is. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, why not?
my man, you've been in Houston too long. It's the only city that loves DJ that much. I hate that I'm because I appreciate the call, man. How much would having just a center help them? Do you think that's the answer? I don't know, man. It's like
it's not the answer, but would you rather have DeAndre than Bielitsa? Is the question.
Mm, I mean, if he suits up, yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's I can't outright dismiss it, which lets you know where we're at right now. Nova, what's up, man?
Fuck, we are good.
Hey guys. I just wanted to, like, you know, we're all seeing Jordan Poole, Wiggins, but I have a fundamental question. Like, is Jordan Poole that good? Like, you know, like, he, you know, maybe we're underestimating the fact that he's been scouted. Like, remember his in and out dribble move? That's not working on anyone anymore. So, you know, he was, what, the 28th pick, you know, like, is it that good? I think that's the question.
Are we okay? Oh, this is a fair question. I appreciate it. So let me make the case for you. So, with the caveat, I don't think anyone here thinks he's going to be like James Harden or something. In lineups with Steph Curry, he has the best plus minus outside of Draymond Green. So he plays very well with Steph. He's a good shot creator. He's not a great shot creator. He's the best way I'd put it is he's really good at everything on ball. He's just not great at it. He's a good shooter. He's not a great shooter. He's good at creating a shot. He's not great at creating a shot. He's good at getting to the rim. And he has upside to be better at those things. But those are all things that no one else on the Warriors can do. And that's why he's so vital to this team. It's not that, like, we think he's Kevin Durant. It's that they have no one else who can create their own shot in this roster. And at a certain point, you need to get him going to see – because – you see the Wolves were throwing three bodies at Steph. They were throwing just like McDaniels, Beasley, like just all the wingspan at Steph, get the ball out of his hands. The guy who Steph gives the ball to has to be able to do something with it.
I have nothing to add. You are correct. No, you're right. You are 100% right. He is not the best player in the world, but he is good enough to help the Warriors.
He's specifically good at something they need, which is shot creation.
Very much need.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
William. William, what's up, man?
Yo, can you guys hear me?
There we go.
We can hear you.
All right, so I think we're kind of at a point where I think I want to say ever since the summer of 2018 that decisions that the front office have made have started to haunt them even more so. That not only we've repeatedly discussed about the Warriors not having a shot creator or a center, and that needs to be addressed, and there weren't. So now we're relying on Wiggins, who is dribbling way too much. He has increased his dribble to like seven dribbles. He's dribbling seven times per game, way too much. And it results in like Jordan Poole to not get his rhythm. And then it also results in Wiggins' efficiency to not be up like the all-star Andrew Wiggins that we used to have. because he can't play make. He can't even make the simple reads like in the Mavs game that the normal two go to step, one goes, no one goes to Looney. He can't even make that read correctly. And it resulted in Steph to make the quick pass. So it's like, bro, at a certain point, Wiggs cannot guard up a position despite the improvements that he has made on defense. So we're at the point where we should, I'm really considering that we probably should have just split Wiggs' contract into like two players, because at a certain point, if Draymond's going to be cut, and we have to really consider if Draymond's going to be healthy even when he comes back. If Draymond's going to be cooked, we can't rely on Wiggins to be all-star Wiggs anymore. And so what is that going to result in? More Wiggs dribbles because Kerr wants to be...
Well, actually, William, I appreciate the call. I think you bring up actually... This is kind of the point we're getting at right now. When Draymond's playing... And I appreciate the call. Great call. When Draymond's playing, he's that second ball handler, so Wiggs can just play off ball. If Draymond's not there, it's probably got to be Jordan Poole, which kind of gets to the point where it's like, you got to get more ball handling on the court, and Poole is your best option if Draymond's not there. And, you know, whatever's going on with Jordan Poole, unhappiness with his role, unhappiness that he's playing, like, it's affecting the team, because right now it's really just Steph, and you're asking Wiggins to create shots, and, you know, as Andy would say, he's not that guy.
The only comment I've made, I would make is, you split Wiggins into two contracts and the two players. Like, who are these guys? How good are they going to be? I don't know.
Yeah, if one of them is a ball handler, for sure. But like, it's like, it's back to, all right, we're going to get to a few more callers. Bob, yeah, Mr.
Rip through these.
Mr. Bob Dalbolina. Nice name choice. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I know the secret to getting Wiggs back to his all-star level. He needs the booster.
Relax. But
I do actually have, I'm going to take it away.
I don't know how we just walked ourselves into that one. That was such an,
but I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the Warriors having the highest like local TV ratings, like, by a pretty substantial margin. Do you guys like fully believe in the, I guess, like the theory that just like homegrown talent like actually propagates popularity? Because we're seeing with like the Nets and all these other teams, it's not resonating as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a pivot for tonight's show, but I do think there's something to be said for, it's easier for fans to connect with a player when you get to watch them grow from the beginning to the end. Like, Steph is obviously the obvious example. It's fun to watch a player grow the whole way through. Like, you know, Andy's an Irish fan. He's already, like, you know, crying about, like, Trey Lance going to the Hall of Fame because he's watched him grow the whole way. But, like, that whole thing, it's fun. You know, you can talk about the Giants if you want, too. Like, it's fun to watch, like, Posey from, you know, go from rookie year to all that stuff, right?
Unequivocally. That is a reason. I don't know about the main reason. I guess there's stuff with the TV blackout rules, restrictions that I don't care to know about. But I think from a fan perspective, I think that's a huge part of it. I think if you're a Nets fan, you're not like, there are going to be fans that are happy that the Nets get Kevin Durant. But there are a lot more fans out there that I think would be happier if the Warriors had, if the Nets had ended up with Kevin Durant to begin with. Right. And I think that's the beauty of Steph. Outside of the fact that Steph is the most fun, impactful player that we've seen in 20 years, Steph is also a homegrown player that we've only seen on the Warriors. And the Warriors have a huge fan base. So,
yeah, exactly. All right. Let's keep moving. Ty, my man, get us back on track.
This is ugly.
All right, we tie back.
All right, so this, yeah, the app. Hey, somebody got to talk to Spotify about this app, because this should be fucking up.
I'll call Mr. Spotify. I feel like, bro.
Yeah, somebody got to tap in.
Or Mrs. Spotify.
Or yeah, whoever. But it's America, so probably missed it. Anyways, it's two things. I went through a lot this game. It was tough.
It was ugly. Hurt a lot. I panicked. I got doomer. Thought we had no chance to win the championship. But then I was like thinking, like Draymond Green is like, he's like such a genius passer that like when you run that split action, right? Like people can see it coming, but he can still get those passes in there. And like a lot of times we're asking Andrew Wiggins to do that and Kevon Looney, who like good players in their own right, but that's not their strength. So I've completely Draymond pivoted. Green,
that's for sure.
Right. I've completely pivoted to keep my sanity. I'm just worried about the playoffs at this point. Once we're in the playoffs, that's when I'll start like taking stuff seriously. Because tonight was ugly. Tonight was disgusting. But we'll get back.
Appreciate the call, Ty. I mean, that is one perspective to have here, where it's like, bro, this is frustrating. I get the anger, but like, let's wait till we get Draymond and Clay into lineup before we, jump off the defense.
I enjoy that take because I do think that Draymond is going to help the offense, even though,
at
Draymond and you're like,
I mean, having another passer helps, getting him into transition. Like, he just does so many subtle things.
Yeah.
My man, Luke.
Mate, I won't let you down, mate. I'll never leave you stranded. Don't worry, boys. I'm right
here. There we go. There we go.
I'm not gonna blow up today. It's all good because Ryan just keeps fucking tapping requests when a room opens, so he can fuck off anyway. What I was gonna say was, boys, can I get you to touch on a bit more about is there any more comparison there between the Pat McCaw situation compared to a couple of years ago? And also, to just a little rant on the game tonight, I'm with you two as well. I'm not gonna blow up yet until Draymond's back. But can we cut the bullshit out? Like, this is a bit of a PSA, obviously. Like, treating Slater like he's asking for fucking 007 nuclear codes when he's asking about a player's fucking health and getting, like, a smart-ass answer. Like, I get it. He's in a hard position, Kerr. I get it. But quit the fucking bullshit. You can do that when you win games. But don't give smart-ass the guys the jobs like you, Andy, Sam, for no information. You can do that when we win 73 games. Don't do we lose the fucking T-Wolves. Cheers, boys.
I'll give Steve this. I think he's just purposely messing with Slater because they have a good relationship. Like, that's just I almost feel like him messing with Slater is like I can't say it, so I'm gonna sarcastically say it so you can read between the lines type of thing, right? Sorry, Luke, that's amazing because I'm
Patty McCaw and Jordan Poole. What do you think about that comp?
It's not the worst. It's not like I get where he's going. Like, is it gonna hit a point where this guy's like, I don't care. I want out. I want my own team. You guys are invested in just your core guys. I mean, friend of the show, Tony Slater, always brings up Reggie Jackson in Oklahoma City as a comp. But it all gets back to the same thing. It's a young player who feels like they're being blocked because they're on a team that's too good. And they don't have a position to, kind of show who they are. And I think that's an underlying issue with Poole. I don't know it to be true, but like, it's hard for me not to see, like, the minute he lost his starting position, things have gone sideways.
Yep. I mean, he's just a lot better than McCaw, but.
Yeah, completely different players and definitely better player overall. But like,
but they want the same thing, Sam. That's the point. These guys want it. You know, Poole looks like he wants to run an offense. And McCaw, we know, certainly wanted to run an offense. So McCaw couldn't do it. Jordan Poole might be, like you said, Reggie Jackson. He might be running an offense on a shitty team, right?
and then have a resurgence. Right. It's just, I get it. So
yeah, right. You gotta get your money. Like, end of the day, I can never blame someone.
Or maybe they just started next to Clay, and it makes sense going forward.
Ooh.
I don't know. These are all things that, but I get the frustration. Anyway,
I get it.
Last call of the night.
Who's the closer? Connor. Let's close it out with a K.
What's good, guys? How's it going?
There we go.
It's good.
Go.
How you doing, man?
So to close it off, I kind of wanted to get you guys' thoughts on general kind of leadership strategies. Because when I look at Steph, I feel like a lot of the leadership on the team ends up going to Draymond. But at some point, if Draymond's always kind of holding the organization's feet to the fire, I feel like they can kind of fall, it falls on deaf ears and the organization can kind of, like, not take it as seriously. And when I look at somebody like LeBron, for example, you know, obviously, like, we see some of, like, the passive aggressive stuff that he can do, but I feel like sometimes some of the stuff he does can benefit the organization to get closer to winning. So I'm just wondering, like, how does Steph find that balance between, you know, not going overboard sometimes like LeBron does, but not being too passive to where, like, you know, he doesn't really speak up for himself and, you know, stuff like that?
It's a great point. I've always thought that Steph and Draymond are like a perfect yin.
There you go. That's the answer. Like, that's like, the answer.
Like, good cop, bad cop. Yep. It's not Steph's style to be ultra confrontational. That's kind of Draymond's responsibility more so. And I think without Draymond, you know, I felt like Steph was on an island tonight. Like, he played, he didn't play poorly. He also didn't play amazing. It was a lot of like, I'm going to get my 35, but like, you guys are
very LeBron-esque.
Yeah, I mean, and that just speaks to his talent. He had 34 and you're like, yeah, he had a whatever game. Right.
Yeah.
But like, it's one of those things where it's like, when will Steph do it? And it's just not his style. That's all I can say.
End of the day. Yep. You answered it. End of the day. It's not Steph. Steph is Steph. He is who he is. Like, LeBron is who he is. Kobe is who he is. He has his flaws. Kobe had his flaws. LeBron has his flaws. Steph, same thing. End of the day, the balance is Draymond. Draymond's not on the floor. He's the guy. He's the guy that rips in a Steve. He's the guy that rips in a pool. Wiggins, right? He's that guy. Steph is not ever going to be that guy. And I feel like if you're asking him to be that guy, you're asking him to be like everything. And MJ had his flaws, right, Sam? Like, MJ had his problems. And, you know, things worked out because of the guys around him. I think same thing with Steph. You can't ask him to be everything. They need Draymond back. Yeah, they need Draymond and Clay back.
We tend to write this hero narrative, and it's really just more of a collective effort in a lot of cases. Like, they, you know, it's like MJ is the best player I've ever seen. Killer instinct, bludgeoning people, all of it's true. It probably doesn't work as well if Scottie Pippen isn't like the nice guy who's
really
going
yeah,
and,
real,
it,
right?
You know, like that sort of thing. And it's like, you know, Steph's nice guy leadership is amazing and it's important and it gives the team a lot of consistency. But, you know, sometimes you need Draymond there to kind of get in someone's face too.
Yep.
So we're going to end it there. Very interesting episode. Appreciate everyone who called in. We'll be back.